Something that impresses me all the time in, you know, the affairs of the church and dealings, he really loves people. I like to say that about Pastor Mike. He cares. He genuinely loves people. This is not a job to him. It's a ministry. It's a vocation. And it's just a pleasure to work with him. And I'm so glad he's on staff at this church. Please welcome Pastor Mike as he comes and brings the word to us this morning. Love you, man.
Love you, Pastor Bill.
Thank you, Pastor Bill. I'm honored. That was awesome. Did I unmute it? Good? Sweet. Awesome. I'm so excited this morning. Very honored. I got to return the compliment, Pastor Bill. I love working with you. I love working on staff. I love this church. I love this church family. I love what God's doing in our midst. I love the momentum. Do you guys feel the momentum happening in our church? I feel it. Last Sunday was our 18-year anniversary, and let me tell you, a lot of churches don't even come close to making it to 18 years. A lot of churches. And I'm telling you, our church is going strong, and Pastor Bill laid out a beautiful, amazing vision of the idea, this concept of, hey, if we all work together, and we all do this thing together, we could move into Gainesville before the end of the year. Were you guys here for that? Did you guys hear that message? Does God stir something inside of you? God, I'm telling you, meeting with the lead team and hearing that the elders and the overseers were totally in agreement, all of our spiritual authority is in total agreement. But as Pastor Bill said last Sunday, if we're not all in agreement, it just won't happen. Because our vision and how soon we'll accomplish it, the mission of winning souls and make disciples, is all dependent upon how fast you guys move, whether you guys take ownership of that vision. Because we can own it all we want, the leaders can. But if you guys don't own it, it won't happen, because it takes a team to make the dream come to pass. Amen? That's the way the church is designed from the book of Acts to now and until Jesus returns. That's how it's going to operate. We're going to work together to lead people to Christ. And I'm so excited about that. The title of this message is Compelling Christianity. Compelling Christianity. And there's some sermon notes in your worship guide, so pull that out right now if you would, and follow along with me. If you did not receive a worship guide or have sermon notes in it, raise your hand. The ushers will get it to you. And raise it high, because they love handing those out. It puts a smile on their face, so bless them this morning, all right? Praise God. You all got your... Wow, good job. They're on it. Our amazing greeters did such a good job handing those out this morning. Amen. Man. Here's the thing about our mission that's so important. To win souls and make disciples is so important. Why? Because heaven and hell are real. It's a reality. Heaven and hell are real. And because that's such a sobering fact and reality of life, I mean, we are moved with compassion to lead people to Christ, to share our faith with them. To present Christianity as not simply a religion with a bunch of do's and don'ts, but in a compelling, life-giving way, introduce people to the person of Jesus Christ. And that's such an honor, I'm telling you, and it's fun. It is exciting. And it's also something that the devil has convinced people to be scared to death of, to be fearful to share your faith with others. And my prayer this morning is that this message would dispel a lot of myths about the subject of evangelism, would dispel a lot of fears and conquer those fears in your life, and you'd walk away feeling so encouraged and so equipped, like you're like, I can take over the world for Jesus with the love and power of God and the Holy Spirit inside of me. I really pray this morning that happens for every one of us. I want you to think about something. When Jesus gathered his disciples around him, and you can read about it in the Gospels, he promised to make them something. And many of you, maybe you know the story. You know, hey, he said, follow me and I'll make you something. A lot of you have been Christians for a while. You study your Bible. You know what that is. But maybe you're new to this and you don't know that story very well. And a lot of people would think, oh, well, God's going to make me more spiritual. God's going to make me better. God's going to make me richer, kinder, or a better husband, better wife, a better mother, better this and that. But he doesn't say that. Would you look at it in your sermon notes with me? Mark chapter 1, verse 17, it says, follow me. Come, follow me. Jesus said, and I will make you, what? Fishers of men. Fishers of men. I'm not just going to make you better. I'm going to make it to where you can make an impact and a difference in the life of another person. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make you fishers of men. Jesus promised that. Here's the thing. Evangelism, even that word is scary to a lot of people. I believe it's been hijacked by the devil. Think about it this way. When you think of the word evangelist, what picture comes to mind? What image comes to mind? And it will vary with everyone's experience with that. I mean, I grew up hearing the great Billy Graham. I actually went to one of his revival meetings in Jacksonville. He packed out the stadium, and where the Jaguars played, he packed that out. And let me tell you, he put on a better show and a better presentation of the gospel than anything that the Jaguars could do ever in that stadium. It was just an amazing, like, experience, and I loved it. I loved it. And it was stirring. And I thought, I could never be that, because I can never gather tens and hundreds of thousands of people. But here's the thing, that's not just evangelism. Some people, they think about evangelism and they think, oh, it's a scary person that points his finger at you and tells you how, you know, if you don't turn, you're going to burn, so you better turn or burn. You know, it's like, repent and be saved, you know, and it's scary. And it's like, I don't want to confront people like that. God doesn't want you to confront people like that. He doesn't. Don't take stories out of context in the Bible. I'll say it that way. If you're thinking, wait, John the Baptist did that, Jesus did. Don't take it out of context. He knew when to speak that into someone's life, and he knew if it would pierce their heart and make a difference. He knew that. Everyone has that at a different stage and journey in life. So my goal today is to present to you a different picture, a biblical picture of what an evangelist truly is, and really that's every single one of us, is that one-on-one, person-to-person, one person at a time, we're sharing simply the love of Jesus with people. That's it. We're simply helping them to take next steps in their faith journey with God, because how many know we all needed that? Think about this. Think back to the person that had the most influence in your life, that influenced you the most to lead you to Christ. Think about that person. Could be multiple people. How would you describe that person? Scary? Intimidating? Pointing finger? Turn or burn? No. What? You'd probably say they were kind. They were compassionate. They were persistent. Boy, were they persistent. They prayed for me. They were kind. They loved me. Unconditionally. Think back. You can be that too. God wants you to be that in the life of another person. He's called you. I'll say it this way. It is your calling. It is what you are destined to do. It is what this life is truly all about. Because this life is a blip on the screen for eternity. I mean, it's a blip. It's finite. Our life here on earth. And then we have all of eternity. All of eternity as a blip. The Bible says we're like a vapor in the wind. Here and then gone. Keep it in perspective. Your calling is to make a difference one person at a time in the life of another person. Oh, I love it. It's so exciting. Read this with me. And here's the thing. It's God just loves to reveal it in his word. Think about it this way. He starts off the Gospel of Mark with this idea, and then he ends the Gospel of Mark with this idea. The beginning and the end of this gospel, Mark chapter 16, said, Jesus said to his followers, go everywhere in the world and tell the good news to how many people? Everyone. And when I read that growing up, I was like, you're crazy, God. I am scared to death to do that. How in the world can I go to the entire world and share it with everyone? Well, you can if the whole church does it one person at a time. The whole world can be touched with the love and power of God. The fears that we have hinder us. All right? It's time for us to get over that fear, and I hope I'll bust some myths up this morning and free you from that. So, real quick, I want to put up on the screen this interesting statistic, this study from Rainer Research. They found this, only 5% of the unchurched in America, only 5% of the unchurched in America are likely to be highly resistant to the gospel, antagonistic towards Christians, or belligerent in their conversations with and about Christians. Only 5%. That means, do the math, 95% of unchurched people who don't have a relationship with Jesus are totally open to hearing about your faith journey. Wow. Totally open to it. More people than you realize are very spiritual. They're totally open to spirituality. They just don't like the branding that they see in Christianity. Come on. Like I said, evangelism has been hijacked. It's become political. Hello, evangelical Christians. It's become political and polarizing. And that's clearly a work of the devil. Whether you subscribe yourself as an evangelical Christian or not, it doesn't matter. What matters is the perception to the unchurched people. So what do we got to do? Change the marketing. Change the perception. One person at a time. One conversation at a time. One smile at a time. One handshake at a time. One God bless you at a time. One act of kindness at a time. One meal, hot meal at a time. One person at a time. You make a difference. I love this. It's your destiny. Followers, fish. Can I say that again? Followers of Jesus, fish. They do. You follow the Bible? Listen, it's throughout the Bible. You can't get away from it. You read the Bible. It's there. Everyone's doing it in the Bible. They're sharing their faith. It's God's heart. It's expressed in every letter that Paul wrote to the church. It's expressed in the mission and the ministry of Jesus. You see it. And in his disciples, you see it. It's there. We can't get away from it. And I'll say it this way. I know this is not probably a deep message. Because as a pastor and teacher, I'm sure Pastor Bill's heard this before. Pastor, I want to hear something deep. I hope you brought a deep word today. It's like, I don't know if... I think deep means you want to walk away confused and go, that was deep. And I was like... I don't understand that, but it sounded good. It's like, no, here's something that's deep. If someone's drowning in the ocean, they don't need to know the Greek word for life raft. They just need you to throw the life raft to them. Amen? So what do we need to do? Be doers of the word, not hearers only. Followers of Jesus live the Bible. They don't just learn the Bible. Okay? Okay. Amen. I'm glad we're on the same page. We want to save drowning people, not talk them to death. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, it says this. Preach the word of God. Nah, Pastor Mike, you're the preacher. No, this is for everyone. Preach the word of God. And I've heard it said, and if necessary, use words. Be prepared. Whether the time is favorable or not, whether it's convenient or not, I don't have the time. Who has the time? Make the time. Whether it's favorable or not, work at it, because here's the thing. It says work at it because you probably don't have it figured out yet, so you got to work at it, right? None of us have arrived. We're all working at this. So work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. So many people come up to me and say, Pastor Mike, I don't know what my purpose is. I just don't know my purpose. It's simple. All of us have this purpose. All of us is there. For every one of us, one person at a time. In Luke chapter 14, it says this. And whenever you read a parable, this is a parable of Jesus. Whenever you read a parable, the master always means God, always. I mean, that's what Jesus is referring to, is the master always represents God. Any servant represents us because we serve Christ. We serve him willingly, not out of compulsion. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in. So that my house, and whenever you see house, that's the church, that's the family of God. It's not just a building. We don't just want seats filled. Crowds are nice. Changed lives are better. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. So that my house, my church, my family will be full. God wants his family to be full. He doesn't want people to go into hell. He wants them going to heaven. But it says compel them. Think about that word compel. Compel. Notice it's not control them, force them, manipulate them, trick them to come in. It's not that. It's not create some incredible argument that they can't dispute with and say, see, I trapped you. You can't argue your way out of not believing in God. It's like that's... Some people aren't at that point to where they're even receptive to hearing compelling arguments. But it says compel them. Compel them. What? To me, that's... means it's enticing, it's inviting, it's life-giving. It's like a breath of fresh air for them. It's like, this world stinks, but what you got is nice. That's compelling. Compel them to come in. I'm telling you, I used to be scared of evangelism until I realized a simple fact. It's easy. It's simple. It doesn't take much. A little bit of faith, a little bit of boldness, and really just looking for the opportunities. That's it. And let me tell you, it's fun to do it. So I want to dispel some myths about evangelism and share you four basic steps that you can take to make a difference in the life of another person. It's in your notes. Would you write it down? Number one, become aware. Become aware. First off, be aware that you have influence greater than you realize. You have a sphere of influence. There are people around you that God has strategically placed around you on purpose for a reason. They interact with you every single day. They're around you every single day. Be aware of that. But also be aware of the role that you play. Be aware of God's role. And be aware of the role that the person that's hearing you and experiencing your love has. There are three roles that you got to be aware of. Your role is simply to be a witness. That's it. You just share your story. And they ask you back, you'd be like, man, my life was a wreck. And I came to know Jesus. And my life still has issues, but man, I got peace when I go through it. I got joy, and I God brings me through it on the other side. I'm better on the other side. I mean, every one of you has a story like that, a continuing story that you can share with people. Be aware, your responsibility is just be a witness. That's it. You don't have to convince people. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to be an expert in apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. God's not asking you to be the defender in the courtroom. He's not asking you to be the judge. That's God. He's not asking you to be the prosecutor. That's the devil, by the way. He's not asking you to be the defense attorney. That's Jesus, by the way. He's asking you to be the witness. Just share your story. Know God's role. God's role is to save. The Bible says that he is the God of salvation. God's role is to save. Be aware of that. So you're not really saving people. You don't have the power to do it. Jesus did it on the cross. All you're doing is introducing them to the truth in a loving way. So be aware, God's role. And let me tell you, that is freeing, because for so long, when I grew up, when I would hear a message like this, maybe not exactly like this, but in like a, do this, we're Christians, you better do it, because we're Christians. I was like, okay. And I walk out of there going, I want to do it. I don't know how. And then I'd beat myself up, because I viewed it as notches on my belt, how many people I actually led to the Lord. And let me tell you, that's a works mentality. It's not in Scripture. That's not biblical. That's not God's heart. God does not want you to work to lead people to Christ. God wants you to have fun and enjoy the journey of helping other people on their journey. It should be fun. God's role is to save people, not your role. Your role is to be a witness. And then their role, the person who doesn't yet believe, it's just up to them. They're not rejecting you if they don't want it. They're just rejecting the message at the time. I'll go into a little more detail in a second. But God has a way of working around that. I'll just say that. Just teasing it for a second. Be aware of the role. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 says, so we are Christ's ambassadors. Come on. God is making his appeal. What? Through us. Through us. It's through every one of you God's making his appeal. Through your actions, through your kindness. 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, my work was to plant the seed in your hearts. That's it. Paul knew his role. He was aware of it. My role, I just planted the seed. I didn't have to worry about watering it, because God sent another person, came along, Apollos, and his work was to water that seed. But it was God, not we, who made the garden grow in your hearts. That's so encouraging. And I feel like a great visual, I found this when I was researching for this message. Really, everyone's faith journey is like a spectrum. And it's actually in your sermon notes. A spectrum. If you're wondering, what are these fill in the blanks? I don't even like fill in the blanks. Why are you putting so many fill in the blanks? Here's the reason why. Because it's going to really help you. It's going to help you. It's a spectrum. Starts at like -6 to 0 and then +4. It really describes their journey. Everyone's faith journey to some extent. So let's start with the first one. -6. A lot of times start out as resistant. They're just plain resistant. They've been hurt, burned by the world, and probably by other Christians, probably in the church too. And because of their perception of it all, they're totally resistant. Totally. I don't want anything to do with that. I'll never forget being on the UF campus, tabling and just sharing my faith with other people, doing what I'm telling you to do now, but just loving people. And let me tell you, when you're talking to people who are very intellectual and hurt, it can get very bitter and very argumentative fast. And before I realized it, I was in a full-blown argument with this guy. And I realize I'm losing him. I'm not necessarily losing the argument because I have truth on my side, but no one comes to Christ by beating them in an argument. I mean, that just doesn't happen. And I knew I was losing, and I just heard the Holy Spirit speak so clearly to me, Mike, shut up. I love the way God knows how to speak to us individually, and that's what I needed to hear. Trust me. You know, God wouldn't say that to you. Yes, he did. It was very clear. He knew, and I knew God loved me, and it's just like, no, I do need to shut up. I need to shut my mouth. I need to be quiet. So I shut my mouth, and I just started listening. And miraculously, the conversation just began to change, where he was like, from resistant to the next one, -5, receptive. Just shifted. Simply because I was just a listening ear. I was not trying to correct him. I was just there to love him and listen as a friend. He was a stranger, but in my heart, he was my friend. And he was receptive. He actually told me, he's like, listen, he was an atheist, by the way, and he's like, you know, I envy my parents because they're Christians and they always seem to be happy, and I know I'm not happy. But he had reasoned his way out of believing in God. He didn't know how to reason his way back into believing in God. But he was receptive now. Before he was resistant, now he was receptive, just with a simple act of kindness of listening, shutting my mouth. And then the next thing was kind of like a seeking thing that took place. I'll say it this way. I just heard the Holy Spirit speak to me, just spirit to spirit, not the audible voice. You know, just I felt like in my heart, God was saying, ask if he needs prayer for anything. Ask if he has any pain in his body. I was like, hey, man, do you have any pain in your body? And he's like, what? Do you have any pain in your body? And he's like, yeah, I tore my Achilles tendon. If you know anything about physiology, that hurts. Apparently it hurts. And I asked him, does it hurt? I didn't know. He goes, yeah. It hurts right now. Yeah, it hurts now. I said, can I pray for you? Can I pray that God heals you? And he was almost like, but he was receptive. And he said, okay. He didn't believe it was going to happen, but he was receptive. I knelt down. I prayed a really simple prayer. I think a lot of times we overcomplicate prayers, by the way. I just prayed a simple prayer. I said, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, heal him. In Jesus' name, be healed. Something simple like that. I don't even know verbatim. I just remember it was short. I remember God saying, you keep it short. You're not preaching to him. And I got up. I said, how do you feel? And he tested out. He said, that's weird. Like, is like some of the pain gone? Is it like 50% gone? Anything? Do you feel it? He's like, that's weird. I said, did Jesus just heal you? He goes, that's weird. I said, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And let me tell you, I believe that set him on his journey to seeking God again. Amen. I believe that helped him take one next step to seeking God again. And listen, God can work through you with your spiritual gifts to do that in someone else's lives. Learn your spiritual gifts. Know what they are. Desire more spiritual gifts from God. And be willing to use them to touch people with his love and power. It's just helping people take next steps. I've never seen the guy since. I'm sure I'll see him on the other side and be amazed at what God did in his life. Now, the next step that we want to help people to take is get them from seeking to actually considering this God that you call Jesus, this man that came to earth and died for my sins. Okay, I'm considering it. I told you the last time I spoke, I think it was back in March, but there was this class that I took at Jacksonville University, organic chemistry. And in that class, I didn't realize it, but I was being watched by one person in particular. Sure, just so you know, as a Christian, you're being watched by people, just letting you know. I didn't know I was being watched. It was after class one day, this one girl came up to me and she said, hey, you're a Christian, right? I was like, what? How do you know I'm a Christian? She just knew by my manner, the way I treated people, somehow, I believe it was God, revealed it to her and kind of highlighted some stuff that I was doing that was Christ-like, not me, but Christ in me. Get the difference? And she saw it. And she was at the stage where she was considering. She was an agnostic in a relationship with an atheist, and she was not happy with him because she noticed that it was almost like mind idolatry, like just praising the intellect of man and putting it above everything else. And it just didn't sit right with her, and she wasn't happy. So she was considering. And then God allowed me, it just so happened in my schedule, I had like hours. I was going to study, but I was like, this is way better than studying. I'm going to just talk with her. And then I took her from considering to number two, negative two, understanding. Understanding. And it's like, I just began to answer her questions. Like she was asking, she was considering. Now she was asking questions, and I was there to just say, yeah, and that's what this means, and that's what that means, and yeah, and just clear up kind of misperceptions that people have about church and Christianity. And she was understanding. And then it got to the point in that conversation where the next one, negative one, she was ready. She was ready. And I'm blown away that usually you just help people with one step, right? And let me tell you, I encourage you, be thrilled about that, that God used you to sow that seed and help people just take one step closer to God. But it just so happened in this story that, like, I was helping her through multiple steps at a time. We're college students. We have tons of free time, so I guess that's why it happened. So, ready. She was ready. And what I did is I just told her, here's what you can do. You just receive Jesus. You ask him to forgive you of your sins and just receive his free gift, salvation. He'll wash your sins away. He'll make you, like, brand new. And that's, she got to the stage we want everyone to be at. Oh, zero? New life in Christ. That's what she got. On this spectrum, we want to get people to this place. Really more than anything else is we just want to introduce them to Jesus. And she fell in love with Jesus. It was amazing. And years later, she followed up with me, man. And here's what happened. She took some more next steps. Plus one, she was belonging. She found a church. She was belonging. She was in community. She was in fellowship. And here are next steps that every one of us as believers need to take. Every one of us. You got to belong. And belonging is not just about church membership. It's about being part of a family and a community. Belonging really takes place, ready for it, in small groups. Not Sunday morning. As much as I love Sunday morning, really Sunday morning is about introducing people to Jesus, really. A safe place where you know, hey, I can bring my own church friends and they're going to understand this thing. We're not going to use eschatology jargon, like all this other theological jargon, and confuse people. No, we want it simple and easy to understand. But small groups is really about belonging. And if you're feeling at all disconnected from the church family here, ask yourself, have you thrown yourself into small groups? Have you opened yourself up to allow those relationships to take place? So we put a lot of walls up when we get hurt, and we carry that into our relationship with God. And the thing that God wants to do is he wants to help you get over that and to belong to the family. The next step, plus two, is we all should be growing. We want people to take that next step, growing. And really growing is like, we want that to happen Sunday morning, but a lot of it happens in small groups. A lot of it happens in your own personal time with God, establishing some daily disciplines of seeking God and every day reading the word, praying. Yeah, he wants you to grow. And let me tell you, a great way of growing is discovering how God uniquely made you. Plug, plug, at the end of this month, July 30th, is our discovery class. And if you don't know your spiritual gifts, if you've never become a member officially of this church, you have the opportunity to do that. And one thing that we do, say, hey, thanks for joining our church. Let's give you a spiritual gifts assessment so we can help you on your way to growing and developing in these spiritual gifts. I love that. I love discovery. And the next step we want people to take, we all should be serving, plus three, serving. We do that through our dream teams here, our ministry teams. And let me tell you, not just on our ministry teams, but I'm encouraging you, this message is about doing this in the world. Taking it, your spiritual gifts outside of the four walls and making a difference in the sphere of influence that you have, serving others. And that will lead to, plus four, sharing. Sharing. Basically, you're at a stage where now you can help other people take their next steps. And I love that. And if you're a fully surrendered follower of Jesus Christ, this is what you want. You want to get to the point where you're sharing your faith. I'm going to wrap this up in a little bit, talking about after you become aware of your role, what God's doing in your sphere of influence, second thing you need to do is you need to commit to prayer. Commit to prayer. And here's the thing. You want to pray God's word over the people that are in your life. There are people in here, I know there's a loved one that is like, gosh, they need Jesus. Your heart's broken for them. There's addictions. They're suffering from diseases and afflictions. Their lives are just falling apart, and your heart's broken for them. This is how you pray. I'm not just telling you what to do. I'm telling you how to do it. Here's how you do it. Pray the word of God over them. And I have them an outline right there in your notes. So if you didn't get notes today, I encourage you, get notes before you leave so you can pray these prayers over them. Pray that the Father would draw them to Jesus. You just take Scripture, John 6:44. It's the Father who draws them. Pray that the Father, God, would draw them to Jesus. Pray against the spirit that blinds their minds, 2 Corinthians 4:4, because there are spirits of addiction, spirits of lust, spirits of different idolatries of all kinds, people putting stuff before God, seeking after things that aren't going to fulfill them, but they want something to fulfill the void. Pray against those spirits that are lying to them and misdirecting them. Pray that they would come to know God relationally. Romans 8:15 talks about the spirit of adoption, spirit of sonship, spirit being actually into the family of God. Pray. Some of you are here just to get this, because you're wondering, how in the world do I pray for my loved ones? This is simple. Pray that they come to know God relationally. Pray that believers will cross their paths. Well, in other words, pray that solid, not weird Christians will cross their path. People who actually demonstrate the love of Jesus to them and are a good witness to them would cross their paths. Because they've already been hurt by when we make mistakes as a church, right? The church as a whole. Christians make mistakes, but pray that God would send mature Christians to them, the ones that are ready to share, and then help them enter into a positive relationship with God. You know, relationship with them. Actually, that's where they're really going to enter into an opportunity to hear the gospel, is when they get into a relationship with a loving Christian. And then pray that believers will, okay, I said that, pray for a revelation of who Jesus is and what he has done for them. Basically asking God to give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I'm telling you, this is so powerful. Every single Saturday, I come here at this church, and at 10 a.m., I pray with other people who have a heart for the 192,000-plus souls in Alachua County who need to know Christ. And every single Saturday that I can make it, physically make it, at 10 a.m., I pray these prayers for our county. And I pray this for your loved ones. And I pray this over the prayer cards. This is powerful. And can I throw something out there, another plug for that Saturday morning prayer? I believe that it lays the foundation for us to move into Gainesville. So we can't do anything apart from God. I encourage you, pray for people. Pray corporately. Pray individually. We got a Saturday morning prayer meeting here every Saturday, and it's powerful. And it'll bless you. But more importantly, it'll make a difference in the lives of those 192,000-plus souls in our county that God has commanded us, calling us, asking us, pleading with us to reach out to. The prayer lays the foundation. Number three, you want to show that you care. So important. See, you're become aware of the influence that and the opportunity that you have. You're committing to prayer, and that's awesome. So many people stop short. And they don't show that they care for others. They don't engage with people. They see someone on the side of the road and they go, I don't have time, right? And I understand, we're busy. And a lot of us don't have time. But then, I'm telling you, I encourage you, create margin in your schedule. Create margin at your work. Don't just rush through lunch or eat lunch by yourself, but actually spend time with the other people that you work with. Because they need to know Jesus. And your job isn't to save them, but your job is to help them take that next step. And to get in a relationship where you can see, oh, they're really resistant. What can I do? I can show them that I care and just love them. And I can help them take a step from being resistant to being receptive. And every step is an opportunity. I'm telling you, it's so fun to do it too. When you know the pressure's not on you, but it's on God to save them, caring for people is easy. It really is easy. Show that you care. Demonstrate it through your actions, acts of kindness. 1 Corinthians 9:19 says this, though I am free, listen to the heart of the Apostle Paul here, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave or a servant to everyone, to win as many as possible. As many as possible. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. He knows it takes a lot. It takes a lot. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. He's like, listen, I'm willing to do what it takes. I'm willing. You got to make Christianity compelling to people. This is how you do it. Not through compelling arguments, but through compelling acts of kindness and care. That makes Christianity compelling. How? Meals? Say, hey, can I take you out to coffee? Hey, can I take you out to lunch? Can I treat you? Hey, I notice you're doing a really good job at work. Can I bless you? Can I do something for you? Your hospitality. Hey, come to my home. A bunch of us are watching a movie tonight. Come hang out with us. Hospitality, acts of kindness, patience, being patient with people, not yelling at them when they make a mistake, showing them some grace and mercy, showing compassion and generosity, or just talking and listening, saying, hey, how are you doing today? And then listen. How are you doing? And just listen. Some people, they just need a friend. That's how you do it. So you want to be aware, you want to commit to prayer, you want to show that you care, and fourth, you want to be ready to share. Be ready to share. I know it rhymes. I know it's corny. Hopefully you'll remember it. Hopefully you'll take the notes home. But be ready. Be ready to share. It's so important. 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Look for the opportunities and openings. Simply share your story. That's it. Every single one of you has a story. Every single one of you. But here's the thing, here's the key. You got to take the initiative. You got to be bold. You just got to step out. And trust me when I tell you, it's fun. It's really fun. I'll say it this way. Don't try to come up with the arguments or the things that you want to say in advance. Don't do that. When you know there's an opportunity, here's what I do. I pray very quietly to myself. I say, God, please speak through me. And that's it. And then I open my mouth. And let me, have any of you ever experienced this? Where God's, you know, what just came out of my mouth? That had to have been God. That's the most incredible feeling. I'm feeling it right now when I'm speaking, but listen, it's for every single day. It's for every single relationship that we have. It's not just for a pulpit. It's not just for a stage. It's to touch one person at a time, the life of another person. That's what it's for. Say, God, speak through me, and then open your mouth, and you're going to be amazed. It's going to be so much fun. I'm telling you, you're going to have fun with this. It doesn't have to be scary at all, and I pray a lot of what I shared today dispelled a lot of that fears and myths about it. You're just simply helping people take next steps on their journey. That's it, and let me tell you, when you do that, it is compelling to people. When you show them that you care, it's compelling. When you're praying for them, God prepares their hearts. It's awesome. And when you share, it's anointed. Your story is anointed and powerful, and it speaks and touches their hearts. I love it. Acts chapter 20, verse 24 says, the most important thing is that I complete my mission. This is your mission, Victory Church. The work that the Lord Jesus gave me to tell people the good news about God's grace. That's your mission. That's our mission, to introduce people to Jesus one person at a time. Become aware. Commit to prayer. Show that you care. Come on, and be ready to share. Everyone, close your eyes. I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to ask you to open your eyes, but just to look down at your notes, because at the bottom of your notes, there's a section that says, make a commitment today. And there's a space that says, person number one, blank. Person number two, blank. And as I pray for you, with your head down and you're looking at those notes, I'm going to pray that God highlights two people to you right now. Two people in your life. It doesn't have to be someone that... It could be someone anywhere that you know. Or just someone that you can make a commitment today, and God's going to challenge you to do it. Father, I pray. Highlight two people to everyone in here. Two people that they can reach out to with the love of God. Build a relationship with. Show them that they care, to pray for and to share their story with. Just to help them to take next steps, God. Help right now in the name of Jesus, I pray. Highlight it, someone. And if you would, if God is showing you those two people, write their names down right now. Do it right now. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. And make a commitment in your heart today. I'm going to reach out to these two people. Please close your eyes, bow your heads. Everyone's head down and every eye closed. Maybe you're here today and you know you're on that spiritual journey like all of us. And you've gone through the stage of being resistant. Maybe something here that was said today is opening up the door and is allowing you to be more receptive to what we're talking about, to a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've heard this before, but just something inside you has just ignited and it's sparked. And it's like, you know what, I'm ready right now. I just need to know what I need to do to come to a relationship with Jesus. And I need to know what I need to do to spend eternity with him in heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want my life to be turned around. I want life change. Maybe that's you today. And let me tell you, that's why you're here. So that we can help you take that next step into a life-giving, life-changing relationship with Jesus. And it's so simple. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you want to take that next step with me, I'm just going to lead you in a simple prayer. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I just ask you to raise your hand right now, and I'll include you in that prayer. Go ahead and raise your hand. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Okay. Everyone, pray this prayer with them. Help them out. Father, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Father, forgive me for my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Forgive me. I forgive myself. Pray, come live on the inside of me. Be the Lord of my life. I give you my life. I surrender. In Jesus' name. Thank you for salvation. Thank you that I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you give God praise for what he's doing today?
Man, give Pastor Mike a hand. I thought that was an incredible message. Incredible message. Powerful, powerful. I really enjoyed it.